I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Just ahead, when much of the country was swept up in election year excitement, we found three guys who were not feeling it. They told us they were not going to vote. But with the inauguration just days away, we decided to check back with them to see if they've gotten caught up in the moment now. That's in just a few minutes. But first, we have another in our series of newsmaker conversations as the new administration and a new Congress take their places. Today, Congresswoman Loretta Sanchez. She is a Democrat representing California's 47th district. She was first elected to Congress in 1996. She's a member of the Armed Services, Homeland Security, and Joint Economic Committees, and she's with us now in our studio in Washington, D.C. Congresswoman, welcome. Thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you. It's always great to be with you and with your listeners.
Now, of course, Congresswoman, one of the reasons we called you is that you have a deep background in both economics. You have an MBA and security issues, so we want to talk about both. First, President-elect Obama has made it clear the economy is his top priority. He's urging Congress to permit him to spend the remaining $350 billion of the bailout money Congress already approved, but Congress could block him from doing this. What's your take on this? Should the money be released or not?
Well, first of all, it would be very difficult for the Congress to block President Obama at the point, if that's who's going to submit this. He is hoping, I think, that we get this done in the next few days under President Bush, but I think it will fall to President Obama. And the reason is that we actually have to override a veto in as a Congress, ultimately, in order to keep that second tranche of money away from any administration. One of the reasons I didn't vote for that bailout was because I understood that. The Congress has very little oversight and very little real direct ability to direct that money. Now we're trying to change that. We're trying to pass some new legislation that would put some administrative pieces onto any more money spent out of that. We don't know. We don't have a good accounting of what happened to the first tranche of money that went out.
Do you think it's been useful so far? Do you think it's had any beneficial effect on the current situation?
I believe that many of my colleagues who voted for that are very upset that they voted for it without having more accountability. When you have somebody from a major bank who got a good chunk of money say to you, well, we lent some out, we didn't lend some out, and that's all we have to tell you, that's not good accountability. So I believe that many people are really taking a look at it this time and trying to figure out how do we really have some direct control on this, because it's my belief that the problem, the basic issue problem, began and still exists with the foreclosure of homes and the whole mortgage lending industry. And this money has not gotten to that point where we can find a bottom in the housing market, bring confidence back to what is critical, home ownership and what the value of real estate is, and therefore begin to build up instead of continuing to see the slide going down.
Among the criticisms of the bailout so far, is along with the accountability and transparency issues that you already cited, is that there is not enough direct aid for homeowners who are directly facing foreclosure. But there's a lot of disagreement about how you can actually do this. Are you rewarding bad decision-making and so forth? Is that one of the reforms or improvements you'll be looking for, more aid directly to homeowners facing foreclosure? And can you really do that?
Well, it certainly is one of the big issues on Capitol Hill as we take a look at this $350 billion new tranche. Can we? That's the question everybody is trying to assess. I remember that a few days before we voted on the bailout, many of my friends off of Wall Street, remember, I have 14 years of financial Wall Street, investment banking, financial advising experience before I got to the Congress. I consider myself very lucky because I actually understand most of this stuff. And I remember receiving a call about 2 in the morning from friends from Wall Street, 40 of them who had gotten together, had discussed this for hours, and one of them called me and said, okay, we're all sitting in this room, we're on a conference call with you, and we want to tell you something. They said, and these are people in Wall Street, these are actual bankers, and they said to me, we would be better off if every person who had a primary loan on a home, who had a primary home, if you decided to give them $100,000 towards bringing down their mortgage than you would if you agreed to spend this, at that time, $750 billion bailout to Paulson. And I, quite frankly, was blown away when my friend said that to me. So there's a lot, you know, we really are in uncharted territory. But when you look at what brought the entire system to its knees, you will see that at the base of it is the confidence of America's people and the confidence in the American home. So we've got to do something about that.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Tell Me More from NPR News, and we're speaking with Congresswoman Laura Sanchez, who represents California's 47th District, about the issues confronting the new Congress and the new administration. On the other hand, at President Bush's final press conference this week, he warned the president-elect and presumably the country that in his words, a terrorist attack is still the, quote, most urgent threat to the United States. Now, with you chair the Subcommittee on Border, Maritime, and Global Terrorism. What about that? You think that's true?
We're still at risk as a nation. We have to be very careful about whether we run in fear of we're at risk or whether we do a good job at mitigating as much as we can that risk. It's like anything else. You leave your home every morning and you're worried that, you know, I remember my father showed me in the newspaper one day when I was very young that there was a woman who was afraid to fly. And so and she was afraid she was going to hit by a car. And so she never left her home. She never left her home because she was afraid she was going to die if she left her home. And one day a plane crashed and fell into her home and killed her. So, you know, the answer is how far do you mitigate and how do you live in fear? And this is actually what, when I view terrorism, this is how I think about it. What do we need to do to assess the high threat and the high risk? And with the limited resources that we have, because resources are always limited, how do we put them in play so that we mitigate that risk so that people, you know, feel comfortable? The number one issue for government is security of its people. We see that in war zones. People don't go out. People don't make an economy. People don't send kids to their school. You don't go to the mall if you think the mall is going to blow up on you. You don't want to be doing that. So, of course, security is the number one issue the government does.
I want to move through a couple more issues in the time we have left. Where should immigration reform fit into this? This is one of the issues that was such a big and intense and hard-fought issue at the beginning of last year. And then, of course, as the campaign went on, it seemed to fall by the wayside for a number of reasons. In fact, President Bush said in hindsight he should have used whatever political capital he had after the 2004 election to push for immigration reform. But the fact is, a president can't have so many top priorities. So when do you think the Obama administration should start making another effort on this?
Well, I would give advice to the president-elect that he's either serious about this issue or he lets it go for a while. Serious means use your political capital. People love you right now. You have a lot of ability to move people in places, in ways that they may still feel uncomfortable about. But that's what a leader does. So if you're going to do it, if you're going to do immigration, I would say do it within the first 3 months. Tell people where you are, be strong about it, get your surrogates out there, work with the Congress. We have new members who don't really understand the nuances of everything. And this issue is an important one from a homeland security issue. It is important from an economic issue. It is important from a values issue. I mean, how do we continue to divide families? That's not what America is about. And it is an issue where what we do in a leadership role about our own immigration issue is something that the Europeans will look at and others who face the same types of issues.
Can I ask you also about this question of the representation of persons of Latino heritage in the president's cabinet, that some have complained that he's taken the Latino community for granted, that, of course, you were a Clinton supporter initially. I do want to point that out. But what do you think about this?
Well, let's face it, President-elect Obama has put a lot of Clinton supporters and a lot of the Clinton team into his cabinet. So I don't think that, you know, that's any type of an issue. But let's talk about the Latino representation. It's definitely not as high as most Latino groups and people in the Latino community would like to see. But, you know, I believe that President-elect Obama won, and he won overwhelmingly because the Latino community did support him across the nation. And more people are beginning to understand that in the key swing states in particular, that's where Latinos are, and that's where we're going to have the impact. So I think more or less we will select the next presidents for the future for a while. So he knows that. He should know that. There are a lot of ways to work with the Latino community. It's not just about putting a Latino face in a cabinet position. There are many sub-positions that have incredible impact for the Latino community. There are policy issues such as the immigration issue. Are you really going to step up to the plate and do this?
So that's not the only standard. That's not the only standard on which he should be graded. Okay, what's good grade? We only have about a minute left, and I have one more question to ask you. But so grade that you give him on this outreach to this community so far, what's the grade you give him?
Well, I would say at this point it's a B, which, you know, is a good grade, but I was always an A student, so.
Okay, A student, one more question. Rumors that you are planning on running for governor of California in 2010. I understand that you've put together an exploratory committee. Anything to announce to our listeners today?
I would just say that I love the job I have right now. I'm really anxious to see what it's going to look like with a President Obama and a large Democratic-controlled House with a California Speaker Nancy Pelosi and a better mix in the Senate. There are proposals and issues that I'm very passionate about that for once over 12 years, having been most of the time in minority and having been really delegated as, you know, nothing with a Sanchez name will get through here because the Republicans were so angry when I won in 1996. I'm really looking forward to trying to do something. On the other hand, my state of California is facing many problems. I am a Californian, and if anybody ever asks me, I always tell them first and foremost, I'm a Californian. I love it. There are issues there. We'll take a look at them.
Okay, well, I hope you'll come back if you do have something else to announce. Loretta Sanchez is a member of Congress representing California's 47th district. She was kind enough to stop into our Washington, D.C. studios. Congresswoman, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you, always.
And Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you.